Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For unto you this day in the city of David is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That's part of the message that the angel brings to shepherds who are out in the fields keeping watch over their flocks by night, telling them of the birth of Jesus Christ, that he has been laid in a manger, that he is the Savior, the Christ. And one word in there I want to focus on for tonight, the word Christ. It's in Christmas. We talk about Jesus as the Christ. This isn't his last name. This is a title. A title for Jesus and who he is. It means that he is the anointed one. It means he's the one. The one chosen by God to be the Savior of the world. The one here to rescue us. He is the one who alone can rescue. The hopes and fears of all the years are truly met in this one tonight. Here in a feed box, that's what a manger is, in a feed box, rests a little baby who is what we heard in the Old Testament reading. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But this baby doesn't look very princely. It doesn't look all that mighty. It doesn't look like the government, the rule of the world, is going to rest on those little baby shoulders. It doesn't look, by all appearances, in this lowly birth, that this is the Christ, the anointed one, the one chosen by God, the one that God has promised ever since man fell into sin. This is the one who has come to save the entire world. And indeed, it doesn't look like the people in Bethlehem thought he was the one either. Because no place was found for a pregnant woman to give birth except here in this place where the animals eat. Surely, if this was Joseph's ancestral home where his family came from, surely he could have found some relative. Some relative would have said, come on in. Your wife can be here and can have a baby here. But there is no place for them in the inn. It doesn't look like this is the one. And it doesn't look like the people of Bethlehem see that this is the one. But the angels appear to shepherds out in their fields on the night shift, watching their flocks, and announces to them the one that you have been waiting for, that God has promised for thousands of years. This one has come for you to be your Savior, to rescue you. He is the Christ, the Anointed One. And we might be tempted in our day to think that there is some other one to solve our problems, someone other than this one, Jesus. That perhaps some politician will save us. If only this one were elected, he is the one who will make all the difference and solve all our problems. Or perhaps we think that some researcher will find all the answers to a disease, that he is the one. Or perhaps we think that some other person will solve whatever problem we have. Or it doesn't even have to be a person. It could be something, some event, something we are looking forward to. That this is the one thing that will save me, that will rescue me. This is my Christ, my anointed one. Unto you this day in the city of David is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This one, this baby, is the one. He promises to give us what we really need, to save us and to rescue us. All these others that we trust in and that we hope in, and that we think will save us and provide for us and protect us and give us that thing we are hoping for, they will all fail one day. They cannot bring everlasting peace. None of them can solve the basic problem that lies beneath all the problems of the world. Human sin is the cause of all discord and strife. It's the reason we have disease and death. We have and will continue to be disappointed in human beings and what they produce. No politician is the Christ. No technology is the Christ. No research is the Christ. No treatment is the Christ. Not even your most beloved family member, whom you don't want to lose, is the Christ. None of them are the one and only one who can save us and rescue us from death and give life. Only the little baby in the manger can do that. But let's imagine that some person said he could be the one, that he would bring world peace, that he would end disease, that he would end death, or maybe even more simply, that he'd simply get you through the problems you are facing, and everything would be good on the other side. Anyone who's promised that has ultimately, in the end, failed to live up to the perfect ideal that we might like to have. Look at world peace. The war to end all wars was World War I. It's called World War I because there was a second one that covered even more of the globe, and plenty of other wars have followed. Various groups have tried to find the cure for cancer and Alzheimer's and a number of other diseases, and maybe they will be successful. Maybe we will discover the cure for those things. But as we've learned in the past 7 months, we still get new diseases. People have tried to end death, either by looking for the fictitious fountain of youth, which they've never found, or by using technology to find some way that people can live forever. But the funeral homes are still open, the gravestones continue to be carved, and 6-foot holes continue to be dug. And we could go on with any number of attempts by human beings to get rid of this world's problems. But the problem, the basic problem, still remains. All these problems, all the evils in the world are the result of sin. Man brought sin, and God pronounced the curse, and death came to all men. But surely there is one who can stop sin and end it. No human being born of a man and a woman can do this. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No one is righteous, no one is good, not even one. This we know from Scripture. But we should also know it from our own experience. We all fail to love others as we love ourselves. We all fail to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. But in the face of all of that, of all of that bad news, is the good news that the angel comes to proclaim to the shepherds out in the field, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The one and only one who is able to defeat sin is Jesus Christ. This baby in the manger is the one because he is different from others. He is God and man at the same time. He has come to live and to suffer and die in our place. The baby in the manger looks like any other man, like any other human being. He is different, though. He is the one because he's not conceived by a man. As we confess in the Creed, he's conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He is on the one hand a true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and on the other hand also true man, born of the Virgin Mary. 100% God and 100% man at the same time. That doesn't add up. The math doesn't make sense to our human reason. but we simply believe it because it is what Scripture confesses and what Jesus confesses about himself. But why is it important that this baby be fully God in addition to being fully man? Well, if this baby were just another man, the biological son of Mary and also of Joseph, as many people believe, then he would be born with original sin. And his death on the cross is the punishment for his own sin. His death is simply the punishment that we all suffer because we are all sinners. And then his death doesn't matter for you or for me. And we should all just go home. And we should sing nice songs about snow and reindeer and sleigh bells. Because this death doesn't matter then. If Jesus is just another man, if he is just a good teacher. But Jesus claims to be much more than just a good teacher. He claims to be God himself. And he isn't a good teacher if he's lying. You either have to believe that he is a liar not to be trusted, or that he is crazy, or you have to believe that he is indeed Lord of all. That he is who he says he is. And he is. And because he is, then his death on the cross pays not for his sins, but it pays for the sins of the entire world. His death can apply to everyone. His death is for the people of the first century and us, the people of the 21st century. So then why does he come as a man? Why is it important that this God come into human flesh and that we celebrate Christmas and that he assumed a human nature like ours? God came to be a man to do two things. First, to live a perfect life in our shoes as a man. To fulfill the law, to keep a perfect record in our place. And then he could go to the cross as a man and he could die and suffer the punishment for all our sins. As a man, he did both of these things. And as God, then, his death applied to the sins of the entire world, to your sins and to my sins. In other words, Jesus is the Christ. He is the one, the anointed one, because he is God and man. As God and man, he lived a perfect life in our place as a man, and then he was punished for all our sins, and he died on the cross to fully pay for your sins and the sins of the whole world. Jesus is the one, the anointed one, because of who he is as God and man, and what he did by his perfect life, suffering, and death as God and man. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And that means that tonight you can know that in Jesus and only in Jesus, because he is the one, there is not another one, he is the one, the Christ, that in Jesus and only in Jesus are your sins paid for. And he offers you, as he offered you tonight in confession and absolution, his forgiveness. He offered it to you in the waters of baptism when he buried you and raised you, and he offers it tonight in the Lord's Supper to his children, where his people who have been born again in baptism are fed and are nourished with his forgiveness. And so we come tonight and see the one, the anointed one. We come, we don't have to go to Bethlehem, but we hear the words of the angel who says that there is a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and we come and we receive Christ the Lord in his body and his blood for the forgiveness of our sins, because he is the one and only one who can pay for our sins, give us the hope of everlasting life, and in the face of the problems that we confront each and every day, in the face of the fears that we meet, this is the only one who can rescue us. His food that he gives tonight in his word and sacrament is better than anything else you get anywhere else, because he is the one Savior of the world. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.